Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Magnetic Goddess Podcast. I am your host, Amy Lee Westervelt. I have a fabulous guest today. I love this gal. I've been on her show. Now she's on my show. She's amazing. She is a relationship jealousy expert. So if you thought you had heard of every kind of coach there is, you now know you were wrong. Shannon Bryant is joining me today. She's amazing. We're going to dig into so much juicy stuff.
You're listening to The Magnetic Goddess, a podcast for women who are ready to step into their power and live their best lives. I'm your host, Amy Lee Westervelt, and I'm here to guide and inspire you to take the journey back to your higher self. We'll talk about everything from personal development to career growth to relationships. We'll share tips, tools, and strategies that will help you become the most confident, successful, and magnetic version of yourself. We'll also talk to inspiring women who have already achieved their dreams and are living their best lives. We'll learn from their stories and discover what it takes to create a life that is truly fulfilling. I believe that every woman has the potential to be a magnetic goddess. She has the power to attract anything she wants in life, and she can create her birthright of abundance. I'm here to help you tap into that inner goddess and live your best life. I'm so excited to have you on this journey with me. Let's start living our best lives together as magnetic goddesses.
Welcome, Shannon, to the show.
Well, hi, goddess. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you. I'm so excited to get into this conversation because I think it's one that a lot of people don't give themselves permission to have because they feel like these kind of emotions, you know, things like jealousy, like what does that mean about me? And I think that, you know, as we get into this today, we'll figure out that that's actually a pretty human emotion, isn't it?
It is. I mean, everyone experiences jealousy in a very general way. We're all going to have a tinge of it from, you know, here and there. But when it starts to really affect your overall life and the way that you're feeling and feeling anxious every day, that's the kind of jealousy that I talk about.
Well, I can't wait to dive into that. But first of all, I've got to know, how does somebody become a jealousy, relationship jealousy expert?
Oh, gosh. I mean, if you would have said 8 years ago, hey, this is what you'll be doing, you'll be helping other people overcome jealousy. No way. Because, you know, at the time I thought I was very insecure and jealous in all of my relationships. I came from a very chaotic and violent environment. My father was an alcoholic, which of course, you know, led to all of these behavioral challenges I had as an adult, one of them being extremely jealous in my relationship. And so I just thought over the years that that's just, you know, how I am. I'm the only person that thinks this way. I'm the only person that is this bad, that has these thoughts, that's anxious every single day about my relationship or my partner and worried that they're going to cheat on me, do these things. So I just thought, that's just the way that I am. I didn't realize that, you know, jealousy is actually a solution, not the problem, until much later. And so as I started to really work on jealousy myself to save my own relationship, then it just became this thing where I felt very called to do of going, oh my gosh, at least I figured out a way to help turn the volume down on this jealousy. And so I wanted to help other people because it's such a painful thing to go through with so many emotions tied to it.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, I think back to, I mean, if I'm being completely honest, I definitely think that I have the jealousy gene, if you will. I remember when my husband went away, when we probably really married for about 2 years, and he had to go away for an army training. And this is a true story, by the way. And not that any story I tell isn't, but you know, like when you hear the ridiculousness of my, you know, 20-week pregnant brain, like you'll be like, oh yeah, this is, you know, card carrying jealousy. But anyway, my husband had to go away for this training and he didn't have his phone. This was like back in the day when they wouldn't let you have your phone on these army trainings. And there were these girls that were interning in the office that would go to like out to the areas and take pictures for the families and put them on the Facebook site. So these girls, somehow the wives got connected to these girls who were like, right. Oh yeah, your husband was this and your husband was that. And he was out today and da, 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 da. And I was just like, I was seething, absolutely seething, because I was like, oh my gosh, what if he like calls me and says that he doesn't want to be, you know, and when you're 20 weeks pregnant, you're irrational anyway, right? Like everything is insane. But I do remember that feeling. And incidentally, here he is off doing this thing. And, you know, I had access to his Facebook. I don't actually know why, but I think it was just that he gave me access. And one day there was this girl from high school or college that was like messaging him, telling him that he was the one that got away. And I'm like, I manifested this. Like, oh my gosh. And of course, being the dude that he is, and I'm sure guys are always like, they're like, oh, I'm sure that's not what she meant. Oh, I'm sure it was harmless. And I'm like, harmless, my ass. Like, but it's true. Like, you know, when you have something good, you were very protective of it. And I think, I mean, at least in my estimation, as long as it's in a healthy way, like, that's a healthy thing. Like, you're acknowledging that you care about the thing that you have and that you want to keep it for yourself. You're not, you know, you're not going to take it for granted. So when Shannon does it kind of steep into that place where they need you, like, what are some key signs when it comes to jealousy that like, you might want to get that looked at, lady?
Well, thank you so much for being vulnerable and sharing your story, because that is a huge part of it. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of women and men too that suffer from jealousy, and they don't want to say, they don't want to tell that story where they're stalking the ex on Facebook. They don't want to tell the story that they drove around the block to see if their husband was really at his friend's house. I mean, they just don't want to say it. And we need to talk about it, because it's a very lonely feeling place to be. It feels very alone. I'm sure at 20 weeks pregnant, yes, your hormones are all over the place, but it can get to that degree and stay to that degree day in and day out for some people. That's where, so thank you for being vulnerable. And you also touched on something else, which is, I think it's kind of important to protect your relationship. And it is, that's where jealousy came from in the first place, right? In a sense, women wanted to find the person who was going to, you know, be able to breed with and take care of their children and protect them. And so that was a very important thing. And so it's like, no, this one's the one that I found that's going to protect my family and is with me. So being jealous of anyone else trying to take that away was a very important thing. Unfortunately, we don't need it to that degree in that sense anymore, but we should be somewhat wanting to protect the relationship. Your question of, well, when does it become over the top or obsessive? That's when it's really starting to affect your everyday life. Meaning some people get to the point where they can't go to the movies anymore. They can't go out to dinner anymore because they're constantly looking for the threats. And I share the story. I can remember it like it was yesterday, my husband and I going into a restaurant, and I already picked out all the threats before we even gave our name to the hostess. Like, I knew. And like you said, I manifested it to happen. I was like, they're going to sit us right there next to the bachelorette party girls. I just know it. That's where we're going to sit, or we're going to get that waitress that I'm worried about. It always felt that way. So when you're constantly looking for the threats, when you have that anxious pit in your stomach and it's affecting your daily life, that's when you know, like, I have to be able to find a way to dig into this a little bit to turn it down.
Would you say that most people that have this kind of an issue, we'll call it an issue, just not to make it too, you know, too intense. Would you say that they have past experience of being cheated on, or do they have, I mean, like in your case, it was your father, right? But like, do you think that most people have a history of this, or is it possible that a person could have this inclination without ever having this have happened to them?
So most of the time, and I hear from a lot of people who suffer from this type of jealousy, whether it's through email, whether it's through coaching clients, I hear from them a lot. Most of the time, they do have some type of, you know, challenging upbringing. It may be the way that they were raised, which then translated into either needing to control things and, you know, needing to know everything that was going to happen and really having that control, Or it could be, in my case, it was, you know, my father left. We didn't have a relationship. And so I felt like, well, if my own father doesn't love me, why would anyone else love me? And fear of abandonment is always a big one. But certainly, yes, as we start in the dating world and we have maybe a relationship where there was some infidelity or a series of relationships where there was infidelity, that's when this jealousy probably hits that, you know, really anxious daily basis type of situation.
Interesting question that just came to me. I think, and I really want you to school me on this, so be as hard as you need to be, but like when I think of if like my husband was jealous, like that would be kind of a turn on for me. Like I would like that, like masculine hackle energy of like touch her and you die, right? Like there's this whole there's an entire erotic fiction genre of touch her and you die. And so because we're dealing with women, like what do you, you know, do you find that there is, so how do I think you know where I'm going with this, but I'm trying to word it correctly. Like if there's an incentive on the part of the, like, are there ever situations where it doesn't cause a problem? It's like, he's almost egging that on. So it's a problem for her, but she's getting positive feedback from him. And so it's like, there's like a disconnect between this is making me feel like crap, but you're loving that I'm jealous. Does that make sense? Like what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. So you mean
like he's trying to make her jealous because he likes the way she is when she's jealous. And it's hurting her. So she's stuck in this, like, I know he likes to hear me say this, or he likes to hear that this is the case. Am I making sense? I tend to ask weird questions.
No, I think I know where you're going with it. And so a couple things with what I think your question is. So one, you know, could it be attractive to someone, if I'm jealous over my man, could that then he's like, yeah, that's right. You know, or vice versa, especially female. I see this a lot where the jealous person will try to then almost try so that they can see how it feels. But also it's like, let me see how it feels for me, for someone to be jealous of me, because I'm always the person that's jealous. I will just say it never works. I mean, it's just not a good, thing.
Yeah.
Usually the other partner is not going to, one, get jealous in the way that you think they are, like the same type as you, but also most of the time they're like, it's a hurtful thing to them. And they're just taking it as like, why would you flirt with this person? That's just rude. Or they just aren't aware of it because they don't have that heightened sense of jealousy. So it's just not going to land with them the same way that it would land with that jealous person.
The reason I ask this, just to clarify, is because I, you know, obviously we work in very similar fields in some ways. And the women that I work with, a lot of times they've lost the connection with their partner. And so their like dream is for their partner to notice them again, want them again, have this, you know, desire. And that's kind of like gone by the wayside. And so I guess what I wanted to really hear you say clearly is that like, you don't want the polar opposite of that either. You don't want like the obsessive, like, where were you? Like, it sounds good on paper.
Right.
It's not good in real life.
No. And that's kind of what I meant. Like, it doesn't work in the sense of, one, you're not going to get it back in the same way. And two, that fantasy of, oh, my husband's going to slay everyone that looks at me crazy. Right. That is fantasy. It's great if it happens, you know, once out of the blue on a really bad situation. But what would happen if that were true in somebody who's truly jealous in that much of an extreme way? That means you're not like, you're having to look down most of the time so that you're not accused of checking someone out. you and your partner are probably no longer enjoying things that you used to be able to enjoy in life, like going to the movies, like going to a restaurant. And so it does get, they're checking your phones. Yes. And yeah, so you
lose so psychic,
right? You're losing your ability to just be in the world and be free and act like a human because everything is being monitored. Mm-hmm. We don't want that.
Yeah. So for those of you listening out there who think, you know, this grass is greener, like, oh, well, I'd rather him be jealous than not give me the time of day or not notice when I cut my hair or whatever, whatever. There is always that other side that's just insane. I mean, if you actually speak to women who have this kind of a partner, sometimes they don't really live to tell the tale. Unfortunately, like that one guy, I think it was in Colorado, he was wildly jealous and we all know how that went.
Yes.
But on a smaller scale, this isn't like a cute little, you know, oh, you're not okay, that's fine. This is like a harping. This is like a constant, like, you know, checking your phone, like looking up numbers, mm-hmm. like this, like, and the reason I'm bringing it up from the other side, because I know you really deal with it from your side, is yeah. I want my women to see that this is not, it seems like dreamy and, oh, he loves me and this is great. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, this can be a really dangerous red flag situation. And for those men who are out there listening, you know, if you have a female who has these kind of issues and you love her, you know, and you really want to help her maintain and build that trust, there's an understanding that there are limiting beliefs there that, like Shannon said, could be coming from a parent, could be coming from a past relationship. And it's important to rewire these limiting beliefs rather than think, oh, it's cute that she's jealous. Oh, it's cute. Mm-hmm. You know, like, because cute can very quickly turn acute.
Yeah.
And then that's where, you know, you have to get an intervention.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and we know, even I'm a true crime junkie fan of as much as anyone, but, you know, it does get to a point of, let's be really serious about this, that it can turn very, very serious in a situation. Now, most it's them internally where, you know, the jealous person, because trust me that between the two, you know, that your partner is probably tired of your jealous antics and being monitored all the time and being questioned, for sure. And they may be at their wit's end. The person who is jealous, they don't want to feel that way either. And they don't want to be that way. And so even that cutesy part of it, that's a lot, you know, it's a lot for that person to have those jealous feelings. And then for the expectation, like, it's, you know, anytime something is a habit, it can get to where it's a negative thing, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so well said. And it's true. Like, you know, something that starts out kind of harmless can turn into something pretty fast, especially if it's being egged on, if it's being incentivized, if there is a payoff for that person, you know, oh, I love him and this is making him feel good. I'm going to continue to be this way. And then before you know it, you are that way. And it's like, how did I become this person?
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, we know it's very hard to break habits. And so let's not create something that we don't need to, if you're not already on that track of being that way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So why is self-awareness so important when it comes to jealousy?
I think self-awareness, and even not just with jealousy, really anything, and you know this very well, but, you know, you can't really move what's in your way if you're not aware of the things. And to me, I break it down into three things. Like, if you can't move what's in your way, if you're not aware of the things you think, do, and say, and those are really important. Our thoughts are going to drive our actions all the time, all day long, what we think. And, you know, the brain works in a crazy way. My thought in my head, my story that I make up about my partner. So to go back to your point, my partner not loving me anymore because we're maybe not as engaged in conversation, or my partner, you know, they may have come home an hour late. If I start to have thoughts and tell myself a story about what that means, my brain is going to interpret that as if it's real. It really, like, whatever it is, oh my gosh, he's an hour late. And so he must have stayed after work. He's with his coworker. They went to have drinks. They're falling in love. They're running off to Mexico to be together. We do that, that whole train of thoughts. It actually creates that feeling in our own bodies. You know, our nervous systems are going to react like if it's true, as if it's true. So being aware of your thoughts, the things that the negative things that you're saying, the negative things that you're doing is very, very important. You can learn so much by just monitoring those three things.
That's such a good point. And you're right. Like, you know, if we take the law of attraction, right? Like when you're feeling the feeling of this happening and you're mentally rehearsing it, we'd never say that a woman brings it upon herself, but there is an aspect of bringing into your reality thoughts and experiences that echo the ones that you're already having, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that that's something to really be cautious of. Obviously not if it's like a fleeting thought where you're like, oh, wouldn't it be awful if, you know, or sometimes I think when we love someone so much, one of the ways that we kind of like play that out is almost like this fantasy of what if I didn't have them anymore? What if, heaven forbid, mm-hmm. something happened to them? What if they left me? Like, it's a good way to bring back a real big, strong gust of gratitude for sure. But we have to be careful not to live in that space. You know, I know for a long time for me, every time my family would get in the car without me, I'd be like, they're going to die in a crash. They're going to die in a crash. They're going to die in a crash. But one day it was like, that hasn't happened up to this point. And the more that I reinforce that, the more that I'm sending the message to the field, like, hey, this is an experience I want to have. And then I was like, okay. And so I had to rewire that, like that starts to happen instead of going, okay, well, what would I do? And how would I deal? And all these things, it was like, change the channel, you know,
yeah.
that's your irrational mind. And so it yes. sounds like it's very similar when it comes to jealousy, that you're changing the channel. You're like, I know you were going to go there. Yes, he is going mm-hmm. to have coffee, you know? But we, you know, like, let's think about something else. Like, let's wait yeah. until, heaven forbid, there's, you know, something.
Right. It's like when we play that, you know, we go through a breakup and then we play all the sad songs that we love. You know, it's like doing that to yourself of like, I want to just sit in this. Sometimes, mm-hmm. though, when we are going down that train of thought, we have to do it just a little bit differently. And to use your example of like, oh, my gosh, my family is going to, you know, they're going to die. They're going to get in a wreck. Well, what you're really saying is I'm so grateful for them. And right. so switching the way that you do that gratitude, you should be doing it that way with your partner as well. Instead of like, oh my gosh, they're going to fall in love and they're going to run away and he's going to dump me for her, whatever that is. Start, you know, go the other way with how grateful you are that that person is in your life and the wonderful things about that person. It's such a more, it's a healthier way to manage your brain.
Yeah. Yeah. And you make a really good point too, because when it comes to the gratitude, especially I think with the male species, if I could say so, it's so much less to do with how beautiful she is or like, yeah, so what, your secretary, mm-hmm. you know, his secretary's gorgeous. But it's not that necessarily drives a man into another woman's arms. It's also that she's appreciative, that she thinks his jokes are funny, that she appreciates him, right? And so like when you're really like stoking those fires of gratitude and appreciation at home, that you're creating a fortitude of energy that's going to override, you know, some TNA in a skirt. It's not like, generally speaking, it's not that's what they're looking for. A man very rarely will leave a woman unless he has another person to take care of him waiting in the wings, right? Mm-hmm. And if it's just like some 23-year-old that's, you know, cute or whatever, that sits at the front desk, that's genuinely not going to be enough anyway, at least in my experience from what I've seen in the world. So we have to remember that, I guess what I'm trying to say is like, it, you know, if you're in your 40s, like I am, right? Or you think you let yourself go, like that's not enough of a reason that's going to make your partner go somewhere else. There's mm-hmm. so much more, you know, that you can develop, like you said, switching over to gratitude, like for that relationship, it really goes a long way, I think.
Yeah. And I think what we tend to do a lot of times when we have had these maybe patterns of infidelity is we go, well, what's wrong with me? Like, why am I always the one that's cheated on for someone else? And the thing is, that is really about that other person. It's what's going on in their life, the way that they are thinking, you know, not necessarily about the 23-year-old or the 43-year-old. It's, you know, that person and what, and their choices and what they choose to do. And we so often compare ourselves to other people, most of the time by beauty, as if like that's the highest currency is beauty. A lot of times when we're comparing ourselves, there's so much more to that. As you said, I mean, there are beautiful people everywhere. And so it doesn't, you know, if there's someone else beautiful sitting next to you or sitting in a restaurant, it doesn't bring down your beauty at all. It doesn't change the weight of you and everything else that you have to offer. And so, but a lot of times we look at maybe one or two things that we feel like, oh, I don't have that, or it's not as good. And we use that to like weight our entire selves. And it's just not, it's not real.
Right. Exactly. And beauty fades, and not just like people are no longer beautiful, but that only gets you so far. Like there has to be substance and a relationship and all those things. And how many men have left their wives for trophy girlfriends? And then 2 months into it, they're like, oh my God, I made a giant mistake. There's nothing here. Like there's no substance here, you know? And so there's so much more to it, I think, but obviously this is going way down the rabbit hole in the wrong direction, but you said, just gonna play with, you know, the visual of like, there's so much more to it. It's not just, oh my God, that girl over there is gorgeous. Now I'm going to obsess that my husband's going to like her. Yeah, he absolutely might think she's beautiful, and he might go home and fantasize about her or whatever. And that could happen. Hopefully you're not going to be aware of that if that does happen. But it takes so much more for it to get to the point where there's going to be a relationship and this person's going to take your part. Like, we need to give men more credit, I think, is what I'm saying, right? Like there's more to it than that.
Yes, absolutely. And quite often it goes the opposite way where they are with someone who, if people, you know, 9 out of 10 people would say, oh, she's less attractive than who he was with. So again, it doesn't matter. You know, that is something we focus on it, but it is not what typically, you know, is going to tear a great relationship apart. And so, you know, and again, going back to that's on that person, the same way that jealousy is a you problem, not your partner. And a lot of times we get that confused, especially in the beginning when we're starting to like realize, oh, I'm super jealous and I'm feeling anxious all the time. It's because of my partner. It's because what they're doing. And
well, the way we say it, we literally say they're making me jealous.
Jealous.
They make me. Like, it's literally putting the verb on their side. So yeah, 100%.
That's right. And you know, nothing that anyone does, I mean, I could do 20 things and they're all neutral until you make them make something. Like until you make it mean something. And so, you know, where one person could go, I don't see anything wrong with that. Somebody else could go, oh my gosh, that was totally offensive to me. Right. It works this. Yeah. It's the same way. And so, it's really
to cover their women from head to toe because of jealousy.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So there's just differences. And I think that's where you come down to, you know, it's the same thing. I can't change someone else, but I can change myself. And so how do I change myself and put that focus on me again versus my partner? Because the other part, if we're spending all of this energy and all of this focus on our partner, we're not putting it on us and the amazing things that we can accomplish, things that we can be doing in the world, things that we can realize about ourselves to make our lives happier and better. So we need to just keep that focus on ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And what you said is so true. Like, if you want to control something, control how you feel about the situation, because you can't control somebody else. It doesn't matter. You know, you could have the most incredible marriage. What was it? Golden Girls, right? They're married for what? Stan and Dorothy are married for 38 years. and then he decides to step out on her. Like, there is no point where there's a guarantee. There just isn't, because you can't control another human being. All you can control is yourself. And imagine if you live 38 years of worrying about that, or, you know, 10 years or whatever, how much of your life you've given away for something that may or may not ever happen. Wouldn't it make more sense to live life to its fullest, and then heaven forbid that ever happened, you didn't waste all that time, you know, or it never happened and you didn't waste all that time.
Yeah. I mean, jealousy is about protection and projection. And so if you spend 38 years protecting yourself, and then it does happen, let's say that you are no more prepared to accept that, to deal with that, to go through the emotions, than you would be if you had 38 beautiful, wonderful, happy years where you were accomplishing things, you felt good about your life, you had great memories and experiences, and then you dealt with something if it happened.
So well said, Shannon. Yeah, absolutely. So I always love to ask this question because of the name of the show, right? And I definitely can't wait to hear what you have to say. What do you think, Shannon, you specifically, what makes you a magnetic goddess?
So I would say it is my vulnerability on my podcast to talk about being jealous. There are so many, you know, it's shameful. It is embarrassing to people. People, as I said, you don't want to admit it, and nobody wants to talk about it. So I made the decision that if I was going to do the podcast, I'm going to tell my story, and I'm going to tell the things I thought in the moment, you know, my thoughts, what I did, my actions, how I behaved, what my husband thought at the time, things he would say to me. So I had to be just really vulnerable. It was so hard in the beginning, but what I've realized is the more that I talk about it, the easier it gets. And it is some therapy for me. The more I talk about it, the more I understand it. But also, I want other people to go ahead and not feel embarrassed by saying, oh my gosh, okay, I do that too. Like, I look through the phone, and then I look through the console of his car, and then I look him up on, you know, on the location apps, whatever it is that you're doing. There are other people that are having those thoughts, that are having those actions. So if you talk about, it's really hard to move forward and to get help if you're not willing to say, hey, me too, I have this too, please help.
Right. And why should I trust you if you don't know how I feel?
Yeah. So I would say that is just, you know, every week being vulnerable and going, okay, guys, I will say it for us, and then everyone can join in. And hopefully, you know, I'm envisioning these lionesses behind me, right? And we're gonna conquer this together. So if I have to be that voice in the beginning, then that's what I'll do. So
powerful. It's so powerful because you meet so many people that are like, well, I made a podcast about this because it seemed cool or it had a fun name, and like, it's such activism on your part, and to be so vulnerable. I think we share that, right? Like, we both tell the whole story. It's like, I'm not helping you if I'm not giving you all of myself. And so I definitely agree. I think you are wildly magnetic, and I appreciate you being here so much. So how do people get a hold of you? Like, if they want to get into your world, they want to learn more about what you do, tell us all the things.
Yes. So they can go to topself.com. That's my website. All the information's there. They can find the podcast, which is also called Top Self. That is everywhere that you get your podcasts. Or they can join me on Instagram at Top Self Coach. So I would love for to see people there. So
thank you. Oh my gosh. Awesome. This is so good. You guys definitely check her out, especially if you're suffering from any of the things that we talked about today, or if you're even, you know, maybe you think your partner is, or, you know, if you know a friend who is, if you just are like, oh my gosh, this is so good, definitely check it out. Find her podcast, go ahead and like and subscribe to that one. And of course, like and subscribe to mine, and leave a review if you enjoyed this episode. Shannon, thank you so much for being here. This has been such a sincere pleasure. We always have so much fun when we hang out.
I know, we do. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Absolutely. And guys, that'll do it for this week's episode of the Magnetic Goddess Podcast. Until next time, may you be happy, may you be healthy, may you be safe, and may you be at peace. Namaste.